Harper Audio presents The Dressmaker of Kar Kanah. Five sisters, one remarkable family, and the woman who risked everything to keep them safe. By Gail Zemak Lemon. Dedication. To all those women whose stories will never be told, and to Rhoda Zemak and Frances Spielman. Author's note. The stories in this audiobook reflect 3 years of on-the-ground interviews and research in Kabul, London, and Washington, D.C. Security in Afghanistan has deteriorated during this time. I have changed the names of many of the characters that follow for the sake of their safety or out of respect for their desire for privacy. When requested, I have also omitted less relevant details that would make the book's characters readily identifiable. I have worked hard to ensure the accuracy of the dates and times attached to their histories, but I admit that their precision may be slippery, given just how much Afghanistan has seen in the past 3 decades and the years that have passed since this story began. Introduction. I touched down in Afghanistan for the first time on a raw winter morning in 2005, after 2 days of travel that took me from Boston to Dubai via London. My eyes stung and my head whirled. Too anxious to sleep, I had stayed up all night in Dubai's Terminal 2 waiting for the Ariana flight to Kabul, scheduled to depart at 6:30 a.m. The Afghan airline urged travelers to arrive 3 hours early, which made finding a hotel feel somewhat beside the point. The pre-dawn destinations on the big black travel board read like a guide to the world's exotic hotspots: Karachi, Baghdad, Kandahar, Luanda. I realized I was the only woman in the airport, and perched on a corner window ledge in the sparsely furnished Terminal 2 lobby, waiting for my cell phone to charge, I tried hard to make myself invisible. But I could feel the puzzled stares of the men dressed in their loose-fitting shalwar kameez as they passed me by, pushing their rented silver luggage trolleys stacked high with bulging suitcases that were bound together with heavy brown cord. I imagine them wondering, what in the world is that young woman doing here all alone at 3 o'clock in the morning? To be honest, I wondered too. I snuck into the empty but freshly cleaned ladies' room to change from my Boston outfit of gray turtleneck, castle jeans, and English brown leather boots into an oversized pair of black pants, black long-sleeve t-shirt, black aerosoles, and black socks. My only color concession was a loose-fitting, rust-colored sweater I had purchased at a New Age crystal shop in Cambridge, Massachusetts. My friend Alia had lent me a black wool headscarf, and I struggled to casually toss it over my head and shoulders, as she had taught me when we were sitting together on a plush couch thousands of miles and worlds away in her dorm room at Harvard Business School. Now, 25 hours later, standing alone in a sterile restroom in Dubai, I draped and redraped my shawl a dozen times until I got it passably right. I looked in the mirror and didn't recognize myself. "Oh, it's fine," I said out loud to my worried-looking reflection. "The trip will be great." Faking confidence, I turned on my rubber wedge heel and walked out of the ladies' room. 8 hours later, I descended the metal staircase onto the makeshift tarmac at Kabul International Airport. The sun shone brightly, and the scent of charred winter air, crisp but laced with fumes, went straight to my nose. I bumbled along, trying to keep Alia's wool scarf in place as I dragged my orange carry-on behind me. I had to stop every few feet to adjust my veil. No one had prepared me for how hard it was to stay covered while in motion, let alone while lugging heavy baggage. How did the women all around me manage it so gracefully? I wanted to be like them, but instead I looked ridiculous, a goofy foreign duckling fumbling among the local swans. I waited for an hour in the 1960s-style airport, mesmerized by the carcasses of Russian tanks that still sat along the side of the runway decades after the Soviets had left Afghanistan. I managed to get through the passport line quickly and without incident, So far, so good, I thought. But then, having gotten through customs, everyone around me quickly began to disperse in different directions, displaying a sense of purpose that I distinctly lacked. I felt a sharp stab of anxiety shoot through my stomach as I realized that I had no idea what to do or where to go.